This message was recorded March 26, 2023. The speaker is David Simpson.
Now please take your Bible and look in Ephesians. We are in the first chapter and we are in verse number 4. Ephesians 1 and 4. Let me back up and read the first verses, 1 through 4. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are who are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, according or because He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame or blameless before Him in love. Now, here's what I want to do. I want us to gently take this verse apart and look at the words that are here. And then our focus is up on this last clause here, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. And I suggest to you that the last two words of verse number 4 should go with verse number 5. You remember that when Paul wrote, it just all was put together. There were no paragraphs, no chapters, no verses. So in my judgment, the in love should go with predestination. But we'll talk about that a little bit down the road. Let me talk about the verse. According is a word that tells us the reason that God has blessed and the extent that He has blessed. And He has blessed because of His own will, and He has blessed to the extent that He chose us, according. And then you have the verb, He has chosen, and that word is made of two words. If we're going to use the word elect, you need to know what this word is. It is out and to call. It's to call out. So it's you have the whole mass of humanity, and it's to call out a limited and a definite number. It's to choose them out. And if you look in verse 5 and 6, at least in verse 5, at the end of that verse, notice you see the phrase, to the good pleasure of His will. And then the beginning of verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace. And then if you look down to verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure. So it all has to do with His good pleasure, with His good will. It isn't anything else, nothing having to do with us. It all has to do with His good will that He chose out. So when you begin to ask, why me, you have no answer. All you can say is, it's His good pleasure. Why did He do it? His good pleasure. Why me? His good pleasure. Why not them? His good pleasure. That's all you can say. Your family you love, you talk to them about these things, they have no listening ear. Why not? It is not His good pleasure. But if they hear, if one hears, it's His good pleasure. That's what we're being told. Now notice that it is in Him. God has chosen us in Him. That is, in connection with Christ, in union with Christ. He has blessed us. Just as He has chosen us in Christ, He has also blessed us. So one of my writers said, just as He chose us in eternity past, so He has blessed us in Christ in time present. So he's talking about what He did in eternity, where He chose us, but now he moves to talking about in time. He is our representative in the place of our first representative, the federal head in Adam. And this is the comparison that is so intricate to understanding this matter of justification by imputation in Romans 5, 12 to 19. But in Him, God has chosen us and saved us. And if you can get a grasp on what it is to be chosen in Him, you can understand it has nothing to do with you. He's blessed us in Him, in union with His glorious person and His saving work. So both of those, His person in eternity and His work in time. But then you come up on a little phrase, before the foundation of the world. And that obviously tells us when this took place. So altogether outside of ourselves. That we should be. Now we're beginning, I've already talked about this other part before. Now we begin to talk about something I haven't talked about in this, is this phrase, that we should be holy and without blame before Him. Every word in there is important. That we should be. Alright? It's an infinitive, which means a to-be verb. An infinitive. And it's an infinitive of purpose. That we should be. Or in order that we should be. It is a word that is related to chosen. If you look at it in the original, it's related to chosen, to the verb that is before it, chosen. So, that we should be is not that we might or might not be, but it is related to chosen. Therefore, it's just as secure what He did in time as what He did before time. That makes sense to you? It's just as certain that we should be, then He's going to go on with His list, and it's just as sure as the election that He made before the foundation of the world. Understand? So that's one of the reasons that there's no way to be lost if He's chosen you. There's no way not to come to the gospel, to Christ, if He has chosen you. There's another infinitive of purpose in this text. Look down in verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory. Again, what He is doing is He's talking with us about what we should be in time. So, election is before time. Now this is what is in time. And it all results from election. However, it didn't begin in election. This matter that He's going to mention here, being holy and without blame, it didn't begin in election. This is a part of a list that goes forward. And there is a list of six blessings. You see, these are the blessings. He has blessed us. These are the blessings. Now, this isn't a complete list. Paul, in other places, gives lists. But it is a wonderful list. It's a good list. It's a list that you need to be familiar with. There is a list here of six things. And if you'll go down to verse 7, you can see when these things actually were initiated. The little phrase, through His blood. And so through His blood, all of these six things, we find their beginning place. That's how they took place in connection with this shedding of blood. He mentions holy, blameless, adoption, accepted. That's the one that might not be one of the list. I'll talk about that when we get to it. Redeemed and forgiven. And all of those things, that list, are in connection with His blood. So it's not in connection with eternity, though it's not separated from eternity, but it is through His blood. And what is in between is the list. So that's what we're studying right now, is the list of the ways that God has blessed us. It's not the only ways that God has blessed us, but it is a list that we have here, and therefore we talk about it. And there are two things that are here. Look in verse number 4, I'm back to 4 again, that we should be, the first one is holy, and the second one is without blame. And there are three phrases, that we should be holy, that we should be without blame, then the third phrase is before Him. So I want to talk with you about these three phrases, and then I'll be finished. So I'm not going to go through all the list, we'll just talk about these two that are here. Paul puts them together for a particular purpose, that we should be. We weren't from eternity holy. We were not holy. Christ died the just for the unjust, in that while we were yet sinners, it says. So we were not holy. We were in the category of sinners. We were in the category of being unjust. When this holiness came to take place, had to do with the shedding of the blood. Holy. What does this word mean? Well, it's not an easy word to define, really. But it means to be set apart for God and by God. It's to be declared holy. Stated positively, holy means pure and virtue and righteous. Negatively, on the other hand, it means other. God is other than. He is distinct from all else. So all else that we can look at, we know is unholy. And yet, He declares certain things to be holy. In the Old Testament, there are many things that He declares to be holy. In the New Testament, I'll give you a few things. God, of course, is said to be holy in a number of places. Jesus Christ is said to be holy in a number of places. The Holy Spirit has the very name holy and is declared to be holy. And as in the Old Testament, the acknowledgement of the holiness of God forms the background of all that is declared to be holy in the New Testament. There are places and things in the New Testament, like a holy city, and a holy place, and a holy covenant, and the Holy Scriptures. The sanctuary is said to be holy. There are persons or personages that are said to be holy. Holy angels, who are also the elect angels. There's the Holy One of God, referring to our Lord. There is the reference to holy prophets, and the Holy Spirit, and holy women. Jesus called in Mary's womb as that holy thing. Paul often writes, and we see the word saints. He writes two saints. Hagioi is that word. Hagios is the word for holy. So the holy ones is the meaning of saints. There's a holy priesthood and a holy nation. Brothers in Christ are said to be holy. In Hebrews 3 and 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, and through the blood of the covenant, he's describing the apostates who considered the blood of Christ and turned from it. And they says that they have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing. They've done despite to the Spirit of grace. They've trampled upon the blood of Christ. Say, well, yeah, the blood might be important, but it's not enough. It's not sufficient. I must do something else. And whatever you add to that, you're doing the same thing that those apostates did. So, well, you at least have to believe it. Well, the elect of God are going to believe it, but they don't believe it as a condition in order to be holy, as he's talking about here. But it also is a reason for thanks in Colossians 1 and 12. Give thanks unto the Father who has made us meet partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And then we are received by saints in his return, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. So he's coming back to be glorified in his saints. God has blessed his elect by calling them holy. So we thank God, we're blessed, that he would put us in the category of holy, and yet we know that we are not. We know absolutely there's not one scrap of holiness in us. And yet God has declared his people to be holy. That's the teaching. And that's where Paul begins this. But the second word that he uses here is without blame. Without blame. It's really just one word. It's the alpha privative or negative that's put on the word blame or blemish. It could be either way, and I'm going to show you that. But here, he puts that alpha privative or the A on the beginning of the word, and it means no blame or blameless or no blemish or without blemish. Now, this word can be used in a forensic way, or it can be used in a moral way. What do I mean by forensic? Well, forensics has to do with legal things. I was listening yesterday while I was taking a ride to a story about an old lawman back in the 1800s. He was really well known at that time, and he was a black lawman. And one of the things that it talked about was that he was looking at a crime scene, and he said he was looking at the forensics. So he's looking at the forensics there of what took place. So it has to do with legal matters. It's a word of the court, forensics. So this word can be used in a forensic way. And if it's used in a forensic way, then it should be translated blame. But it also can be used in a moral way. So to be morally pure. And then it's a good time to translate it blemish. So it can be either way. Two times this word appears in the book of Ephesians. So I want you to look back to the 5th chapter, and I want you to see it again. Ephesians 5 and 27. He pretty much quotes this or repeats this at the end of verse 27. That he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that he should be holy and without blemish. Now this could be argued either that it's moral or it is forensic, but the translators usually translate it by the word blameless. Here it is used with the word blemish, but it's the same word, and it would seem to me that what he's talking about, because he's talking about his church being presented to him as being presented without blame. You could be either way, but both times in most translations it is translated by that word blame. All right? Now, to take this word on the negative side, this blame without blame, to be the negative side of justification, to be justified. David, what do you mean? We've had two problems from the time that Adam sinned and we joined him in that. First of all, we were under a just condemnation. So, for example, in Romans 8 where it says, therefore there is now no condemnation. So we were under a just condemnation. That is, we were justly blamed. We justly were due to be punished by God. So we needed to have the blame removed. Well, this is the negative side of justification, the blame removed. But there's also the second thing we needed. We needed to have a positivity of righteousness accounted to us. So you have both of those, condemnation removed and righteousness accounted. And both of those things took place in connection with the blood. So both holy and without blame took place in union with Christ and His cross. It resulted in the ones that He chose before time to have no condemnation and to be viewed as righteous. So without blame. So it's the negative side of being justified. I think that it's easy enough to say that we should be holy and that we should be justified. That is the positive side of that word. But now we come to the third phrase that is so easy to pass over, but the little two-word phrase, before Him, that is before God. We could say in His sight, before Him, or in His sight. This is not a misplaced modifier, but a highly important phrase. Highly important phrase. So now I want you to look up some verses. We have enough time to do this. So I want you, everybody, take your Bible and you'll be able to go along. You come to Ephesians. Now you come to Philippians. So I want you to look in Philippians 2 and verse 15. That we may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. All right, now, you see the word here, blameless, verse 15, blameless and harmless, and they translated blameless, but is this moral or is this forensic? In my judgment, this is moral. This is moral, but he's talking about how we are to behave ourselves as the sons of God. So it's moral. How are we to behave ourselves? Then turn with me to the next book, Colossians 1 and 22. In the body of His flesh through death. So look how closely this puts this to the death of Christ. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. So is this forensic or is this moral? Well, this is forensic. To present you and notice these things in His sight. That's what I'm talking about, is in His sight. So all of this has to do with being in His sight, to be without blame. Now then we can go to Hebrews. You're almost there, weren't you? Go back now to Hebrews 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Well, in my judgment, he's talking probably maybe both, but this is probably moral or moral perfection. How much more shall He, through the blood of Christ, who without spot, Christ himself was without spot, moral perfection. Go with me to the book of 1 Peter, Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 19. 1:19, but with the precious blood of Christ, who is of a lamb without blemish and without spot. This is moral perfection. Turn with me to the book of Jude, just before the Revelation. The last book before Revelation. There's only one chapter, so all we have to say is verse 24. Jude 24. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Faultless is the way this word is translated now. Faultless in the presence of his glory. This is forensic. This is legal. It's very legal. Now then, go on into Revelation one place. Go to chapter 14 and verse 5. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. Forensically, if viewed in time past, but both forensically and morally, if viewed in the present time. So here you have both of these together. I want you to look one more verse, and I'm about to quit. I want you to go with me back to Romans. Back to Romans. You were in Ephesians. I want you to go to Romans. We're talking about this phrase, in his sight. So look in chapter 3 of Romans and verse number 20. 3:20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified, and then there's our phrase, in his sight. The justification that we're talking about is the justification of being in his sight. In the book of Job, it says, behold, he puts no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. He's so holy, so removed from us, that he does not trust his saints. So God did not trust us to perform a work good enough to be saved by it. He did not trust us enough to make the right decisions to be saved by our decisions. And he did not trust us to believe without mixture of doubt to make any condition connected even to our faith. So he rested it all upon his Son, upon that blood. He chose, the Son shed his blood, and in between those two things in our text, Paul is telling us how God blessed us. He declared us holy in his sight, and he justified us in his sight. God approves everything about Jesus. He said amen to the righteousness that Christ earned in his obedience unto death. And God accounted his righteousness, the one that he earned, to be a legal declaration of justness to the account of his people. He declared them holy, blameless, justified. It was all in his presence. Election was in his presence, and justification was in his presence. We were there legally. We were not there to see it. Just like we couldn't see the election, we couldn't see the justification. Which was easier for God to do? Was it easier for God to elect us, or was it easier for God to justify us? Nothing is hard to God. But the first one was a declaration, and the last one was on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ.